what I love about coming here is that it's fun. This is my happy place. I like it here because the people put up with me. And so it's great.
These are the members of the church that I feel I'm most close to because we're able to get to know each other on a more personal level. And we also are able to share our struggles. So our conversations may be 30 seconds long because pantry's so busy, but it's value and I love it.
The pantry is a blessing to me because I really believe I have a gift of caring, and this is one way you can care, is by doing this. The fellowship here is wonderful.
From the time I walk out the door to help the first person, first client, it's just mostly smiles for the rest of the time.
Other than Terry Sue, the clients of the pantry, seeing them each week, building a relationship with them, checking on them, praying with them.
So we went out to, we got a few bags of groceries that we just bought at Walmart, and we headed to the park. And took the church van out there, and I don't know, there were 7 or 8 of us that went, and we'd put out flyers around the neighborhood saying we'll be giving out groceries. And that first night, nobody showed up.
What surprised me the most was the amount of people in need, to be honest, the amount of people that come here, you know, to support their families and to get, if you're not here volunteering, you won't see it. So if you're not here firsthand helping those that are in need, you would never see it to begin with.
First time I did this was amazing. I can't believe the amount of food that they delivered to these people. I was blown away, in tears the first time. I drive from South Austin all the way up here because of these people and what they're doing.
And then we said, well, this isn't working. So we backed off, but we didn't quit. And so we would spend a few months each year, more of the summer months.
We did the summer months because it was daylight. We couldn't do it at night during the winter because it got dark.
I've been with them from pretty much the beginning. So 2008, 2009 maybe. Yeah, we had like... five people show up. So it's grown a little bit since then. Yeah.
We needed a trailer, and we were getting where we couldn't put it all in there. It was filled. We were buying enough to fill that up, plus the van. And so I went to Ezra went and elder then. I went to the elders and said, we need a van. And they were like, well, we can't afford that. So that's okay. I'm praying for it. And so we just kept praying for it, and the money came. It just came. And all of a sudden, the eldership was like, okay, here's your money. You can go buy you a trailer. And we bought our own trailer. That was exciting.
Food pantry ministry has certainly grown. I think we've seen that within the area that the need for families to have food and everything has certainly increased with inflation. And yes, I would say when we started out, probably 75 to 80 families, and certainly we're serving about double that today.
This church has always had some type of an emergency pantry. And so when we came here, they were okay with us handing out groceries because they had already done that, but just not in the format that we were wanting to do it. And so it just kind of, we took that, what they were doing, and created a different way to get it out there.
Say what surprised me about the pantry, Brighter Days Food Pantry, and this whole program, to be honest, is how much Terry Sue has grown it. It started so little, and every year she just keeps adding and having good ideas and bringing more, you know, services to clients and help to the community. So that was probably the most pleasantly surprising part, is how big it is and how all the fresh food that's here, the fresh vegetables, the flowers that we give out. It's just a fantastic program to offer to the community.
And I never dreamed I would be a part of it this long. I mean, I just thought I was, you know, going along for until they found somebody to run the ministry. I never dreamed it was going to be me, you know. And But God knew what he was doing, and he took all the skills that I had from being from retail management and to being able to go out into the community and talk to people. He took all that and made it into this. And that's why I give him the glory, because it was so beautiful. And I have learned, I have been blessed so much, and I couldn't do it without them. They're just, the volunteers are awesome. Mm-hmm. Each one of them means so much to me. There's not a single one of them that hasn't touched my heart somewhere.
You can, everybody can come. If they speak Spanish, speak English, doesn't matter. If we don't know the language, we will find somebody who knows it. But the more important thing is that when you give love and you work with love, it's nothing that will not come back. Just give a try. A hug can solve a lot of hearts. And sometimes it's all you need, just a word, just a smile, and just make your day.
Morning. I'll just preach in the dark if you want. Everybody can take a little nap. Thank you all for coming this morning. Appreciate all the food that's been donated. As you can see, a lot here. There's still a lot that's stored away, and we're just excited about a lot that's going on. So we're going to spend today just kind of talking about the pantry, and I want to start with the thought that throughout Scripture that we're taught that the spiritual is more real, or at least more permanent than the physical world. And we're taught that we shouldn't live as the world lives, that we're taught not to cling to things of this world and to set our mind on things above instead of on things of this world. And so I think sometimes as Christians, that we often lessen the impact of physical things that happen in this world. Because we teach that the physical world is inferior to the spiritual world, and that's absolutely true. I'm not going to argue against any of those for sure. They are absolutely critical truths and things to our spiritual growth, but I think what happens sometimes is we don't see the connection that the physical world and the spiritual world has. And I can see how we legitimately feel that way, that physical things of this world are the problem. And many times they are. But not only, we tend to think that only supernatural things, only spiritual things are holy, and I don't think that's true. What if tangible, ordinary day-to-day things in this life lead us into the spiritual realm? And I think it goes the other way too. I think that spiritual things lead us to the right way to handle things of this world. And one of the classic Sunday school stories that we all know and love, I'm sure, is the miracle of Jesus multiplying the loaves and fishes to feed the thousands. And so I want to read that this morning. It's actually in all the Gospels. It's one of the few parables or stories that's in all the Gospels. But I want to read it from John's Gospel, starting in verse 1 through verse 14. After Jesus crossed over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias, a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." So this wasn't just some aunts and moms that had been thrifty and brought some emergency food bars with them or some goldfish crackers. I even read a scholar who said this was a miracle of sharing because Jesus just convinced the people to share their food. And I don't believe that was the miracle here. To me, this was that Jesus spoke words of blessings over this food and it was multiplied enough to feed thousands. But part of this miracle that I think sometimes we lose sight of is what happened among the people that day. What began in the spirit, this miracle, became a physical blessing of feeding these people. Spiritual and physical are sometimes linked together, many times linked together. And I think what we miss, to me, is the second part of this miracle, and that's not just the full bellies, but that's the fellowship that occurred on that mountain. As they sat there in their small family groups and probably some others, you know, friends mixed in there, and they're sitting on this mountainside sharing this meal together. So imagine the topics that they talked about with one another. Think about your small groups, you know, when you break bread maybe this evening at small group, and think about some of the discussions that you've had in your small groups. Now imagine that you've physically been walking with Jesus all day, that you've been listening to him, and then on top of that, you've seen him perform this miracle, feeding, I don't know, 15 to 20,000 people from just a small amount of food. Of course, there were great physical blessings, but there were spiritual implications to this miracle. I think in a similar way that Brighter Days Food Pantry is a divine inspired gift to our community. Pantry started out as a spiritual desire to bring people closer to God. There was nothing in the beginning except a prayer to start an outreach ministry. We didn't intend to start a food pantry. We intended to reach people through the food. But it wasn't, it's intended more for outreach. And through the early years, there was very little physical activity. There were many nights, as Jared said in the video, if we had 4 or 5 families show up, that was a lot to feed. That's not the volunteers. That's how many bags of food we would give out. So here's a picture of us back in 2007. You can see there's just a couple of us out there. The food was in the trunk of my car. We set up a couple of tables. That was the pantry back in 2007. It's come a long way, hasn't it? In 5 years from that, in about 2011, I added it up. And for the entire year of 2011, we served a total of 201 families for the whole year. But what if our eyes were open to the physical and the spiritual growth that was going to happen? Man, oh man. November 16th of this year, we served 203 families in one night, in an hour and a half. So we serve as many, if not more, in one night now than we did in just a few years ago, in an entire year. And I think that Jesus was testing, he was working, he was determining the fortitude of the leaders to see if we were going to continue in this ministry. Are you going to keep going out there and setting up your pop-up if you're only serving 4 or 5 people? from this, but you know, from this spiritual beginning became this huge physical blessing that has outgrown anything that we ever imagined. And I honestly don't think God's done with it yet. But let me geek out here for a couple of minutes on some flow charts. Mark, you'll love these. How often do you get to see a flow chart in church service? But if Larry can pull that up, I may be ahead of him. So in 2011, this is showing the number of families that we served. And as I mentioned, we had 201 back in 2011. And we had started, 5 years before that. Then we partnered with the Central Texas Food Bank. And as you can see, this year we're going to hit probably close to 8,000 families that we're able to help. And then there's another, in case one graph's not enough for you, this is the number of individuals. So we've gone from serving 377 individuals in a year to over almost 29,000 people this year. If you add it all up over 12 years, I think you can barely see that, but 51,619 families that we've helped since we started the pantry, and almost 200,000 people. All of that in a city of about 67,000 now. From the spiritual comes the physical blessings, and through the physical comes spiritual blessings. Each week, hundreds of man hours, and I really should say man, women, and children hours for sure, are poured into our pantry. We're able to bless hundreds, not a handful, but we're able to bless hundreds each week with the food for their tables. And what happens at their tables? Perhaps some of the same fellowship that happened on that mountain that day when Jesus miraculously fed the thousands. Maybe that same type of fellowship is happening at tables all across our community because we put some food in some boxes and we handed it out on a Wednesday night. You know, one of the concerns that I've had as the pantry, as it's grown more into a pantry instead of an outreach ministry directly, one of the concerns that I've had is how are we impacting people on a spiritual level? Since it began as this desire to do outreach, we wanted to use food as a way to reach people, as this physical tool to reach them spiritually. We wanted to be able to pray with people. We wanted to study God's word with them. We wanted to be able to bring them into a relationship with Christ. And so my question has often been, are we doing that? Are we meeting people's spiritual needs as well as we do their physical needs? And I think after a lot of thought and prayer and discussion with even a lot of y'all, that I think the resounding answer is yes. Yes, we're making a spiritual impact on them as we do our physical work. Can we do better? Absolutely. Can we find new ways or better ways to spread the gospel to them? Absolutely, sure we can. But don't kid yourselves. We are spreading God's word through our actions and our interactions with people in our day-to-day operations of the pantry. Think about the opportunities that we have when we interact with the Central Texas Food Bank. Think about the interactions we have as we send drivers out all over the city, all over this area, picking up food at different retail stores. Think of the positive impact that the Leander Church makes to our volunteers from the community when they come and they get to see Christian brothers and sisters working together side by side. In fact, I think our biggest opportunity to interact with people outside of our congregation is through the volunteers that come and work alongside us. Some of those volunteers have gone on to become members here at Leander. Ray and Julie Bungard came to us, first Julie came as a volunteer with Kohl's. And then she said, I like this. Can I keep coming back? And then she said, can I bring my fiance at the time? So Ray and Julie became the critical parts of the food pantry. And look at the impact that they've been able to make on this congregation as their roles as leaders in other ministries. Now, Ray was baptized about a year ago, I guess, maybe a little over a year ago. If nothing else happens in our pantry, we allowed God to work through us to save his life. That deserves an amen. The food pantry, probably more than anywhere else in the church, is where we see our young people serving side by side with the adults. Does that impact their faith, both the children and the adults? Of course it does. Pantry gives us the opportunity to live out our faith in front of one another and in front of our community. You know, we were kind of concerned, well, we're going to do the pantry on Wednesday night. That's a night to come and sit in a Bible class and study God's word. Well, what's better than being able to live out that faith through our interaction with the community? And sure, we don't have near as much face-to-face interaction with our clients as we did before COVID, but we still are making a spiritual impact on them. Just come out some Wednesday night and just watch the interactions. You got Ray out there running around giving candy and snacks and playing with the kids in their cars, bouncing tennis balls everywhere, acting like a crazy man. You've got we got a gentleman who's been coming to the pantry since it started, and he's got, I believe it's Parkinson's, really bad, but he drives over from next door, and his name's Marty, and we all know Marty, and we know to get out of the way when Marty's coming. He starts honking his horn at everybody because he's so excited to see us. But then when Marty had a need where he needed to get down to the airport and he had to be there early one morning, it was the pantry that he turned to see if somebody could help him out with that. Thank you, Ray. Edward Flores is one of our community volunteers, and he watches our kids like a hawk. He's out there at the front of the line, and he makes sure that those kids don't move until the cars are stopped. He makes sure that it's always safe. That's his number one concern. There's a lot of love that we're sharing with our community. Physical that moves us spiritually, and spirit-filled moments that spur us on physically. Come out and watch Mary McClenna. She greets... She's our check-in point, and she greets 200 families by name. She, just about every one of them, she knows their name, and not only their names, but she'll ask them about their family, their kids, anything that they've shared. She remembers all that. Mary, you're making a spiritual impact. Thank you. Let me embarrass Casey and Stacy Childs for a second. Casey and Stacy. Here's their little Archer about 2 years ago. He's two now, is that right? So almost immediately, as soon as Archer was here, they started bringing him to the food pantry. I saw a picture of him in his little onesie that said Volunteer Brighter Days Food Pantry, sitting in a box. We did not give him away, though. But he's not obviously old enough to be out there pushing carts and things, but what an incredible example his parents are setting for him. They're instilling this desire in him to serve people. There's no doubt that Archer is learning very early on the importance of loving our neighbors near and far. There's no doubt the impact that they're shaping in his spiritual growth already. I think our church has a strong reputation in the community as a place to come and help and come for help, just like the early church. Our giving leads us into more giving. If you want to do more, you do more. If you want to give more, you give more. In our community, I think we lead the direction that we have opportunities because of the pantry with our community that we wouldn't have had otherwise. And we found that even the community, when they're looking for, when businesses and schools and other organizations are looking for a way to help and serve their community, they're coming to us. They're learning that this is a great place for them as well. But look at how the pantry has impacted some of our other ministries. From the food pantry came the realization that we needed to be able to clothe people and that there was a need for that. And so under the leadership of Larry and Jamie Sanders, the clothes closet was formed, and we're able to give out clothing to hundreds of people a year now. When OR came and said he was bringing Celebrate Recovery, and once I had a grasp of what Celebrate Recovery was and what it offered, I was so excited because it helped with that concern of mine about how do we reach people spiritually through the food pantry, and it dovetails so nicely with what the pantry does. And so it provides us just another tool to reach out to those who attend the pantry that have some extra stronger spiritual care than maybe we can give them on a Wednesday night. And through giving, we're putting ourselves squarely in the path of God's miracle of feeding thousands in our community. God's using us physically in order to bring about spiritual truth to our community. And there are so many of our clients, like so many of us, that are in desperate situations. Some of them are physical, some of them are emotional and spiritual. And they need Christians to be able to help them. In Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the day of final judgment. And he says in chapter 25, verse 40, the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. God made everyone. He created everyone in his image. So based on that union of man and God, when we do something for someone else, we're doing it for God. It's impossible for us to separate the love for God with the love for his people. If we're going to love and serve an invisible God, then we definitely need to love and serve our fellow human being. In Luke 14, verses 7 through 12, in that passage, Jesus is talking about serving the least of these. And we're going to read a verse, but I don't believe that he's talking about, that he's saying that it's wrong to serve those who can return the favor. But God is clearly concerned about our motives if we choose who we serve or who we work with. In Luke 14, 12, it says, when you put on a luncheon or a banquet, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors. For they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. At Brighter Days Food Pantry, we focus on serving the least of these. Our goal is to do all things and render all service for all people for the glory of God. At this point, I want to ask Terry Sue Bettis, our pantry coordinator, to come forward. Terry's been with the pantry since the beginning, 16 years ago. And I know that I'm not impartial or biased at all. But I think, I know she's done an incredible job over the years. And I've seen her grow spiritually. She has a passion. I'm not supposed to get emotional. She has a passion for this ministry and about helping our community, especially the senior saints. And she not only helps lead all the physical work that's done down in the pantry, but she attends Chamber of Commerce meetings, not just on behalf of the pantry, but on behalf of the church. She's on a council for nonprofit organizations in Williamson County. Come on up here. And she won a few years ago. She was she won a Legend Award from Recognize Good for her work in the community. And again, not being biased, but anyone who spends much time with Terry Sue knows how great she is at drawing people into her vision of what we can accomplish as a church through the pantry. One of her main focuses right now is on growing our base of volunteers, which we've had to go out into the community to do. And so she spends significant amount of time talking to schools and organizations and businesses about volunteering with us. And now I'd like to ask everyone who has volunteered, whether now or in the past, if you've ever volunteered for the pantry, I'd like you to stand up. If you've donated money, if you've brought us egg cartons, if your kids helped shop for food for these boxes or for any time, I want you to keep standing. Now look around. I know there's a bunch that probably aren't even standing, but think about the impact that they've had on our church. It's 50, 60, 70% of our church, and that's the impact, not just on our community, but we're making an impact on one another on Wednesday nights. So thank you all for your hard work. Keep standing. Your dedication, your prayers. So, and thank you for your time. So what I'd like for us to do, I think this is kind of a powerful moment, is I want all of y'all that are standing and to come up here, come forward up to the front. And I know it'll be crowded, but we want everybody to come on up here. And Ed Hamill is going to come up and say a prayer for the work that we're doing through the pantry. You'll end the front up here. Don't be afraid. We want everybody online to be able to see everybody's smiling face. So come on down front here. Yep. Can y'all come on over so we can get a picture?
So if y'all can feel the front end. Would really help me out.
Please. Nobody squeeze it. Thank you, Jim.
I love you.
Mike, Sally, Jerry, and Brenda, I know y'all volunteered. Isn't this incredible? Incredible. So, Ed, if you would, if you'll lead a prayer for us, we appreciate it.
Heavenly Father, our hearts are touched today by this family, by this church, who takes the message of your Son and reaches out and touches so many people in our community, people who are hungry, people who are lonely, people who just need someone to smile and to give them comfort. This group up here today, Father, believes in this and practices it week after week. And Father, as you look down, sometimes it gets tiring, and there's a lot of things that Satan does to try to stop us. So, Father, I pray that you'll put a spark in the hearts of everyone up here, that it will grow to a flame, and it will grow to that point to where we continue to serve and to reach out to every single person that we can. Father, there's boxes of food up here now. help us to realize that each box is more than cardboard or applesauce or cereal. But Father, you know where each box is going to go. You know, Father, the table that this food is going to be sitting on. So, Father, bless that family and help them as they eat this food physically, that they know that there's a family here that loves them and is concerned for their future. Thank you, Father, for listening to us and our prayer today. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
You can have a seat. God bless our volunteers. I tell you, you change the world, you really do. I think just like the people who came to that mountainside and they were fed that day by Jesus' miracle, they observed the good that comes from following Jesus. And when our pantry clients see our desire to serve, whether it's cold and icy out there or whether it's 110 degrees out on that asphalt, when they see us so thrilled to be out there and serving them, they're touched and they want to see more of Jesus. Like Randy read earlier in Luke 14, verse 24, I challenge you to go into the country lanes and beyond the hedges and urge anyone you find to come. Let's continue to take the message to the community that we care for them and that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And I want to close with just one more verse. Psalms 37:23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Serving our community through this pantry and in so many other ways is one of the details of our lives that delight the Lord. So keep on serving. Keep doing what you do. God will continue to bless us all individually as well as he does as a congregation. So the lesson is yours. If every Sunday we want to give people the opportunity to obey the gospel, so if you want to put on Christ through baptism, the waters are ready. If you have a burden that you'd like to share, we have elders in the back. We have, you're welcome to come up front. But we need to share with one another. If we don't share our burdens with one another, how can we support and uplift one another? So if you have any concerns that you'd like to bring to the church, you can come now as we stand and sing.